Thank you for that lovely singing. I'm glad to return to a congregation that is praising the Lord. And as we enter the new year, may it continue to be so. So nice to be back again home and to see all of you attending church service this morning and those that may be following us online. Happy 2025, and my prayer is that we will continue to shine as we have sung for our Master. If you have your Bibles, please turn them with me to Matthew chapter 5, and I will be introducing this morning our theme for the year, which is that you are the light of the world. We are the light of the world, and therefore we are expected to shine, because the light, when you look outside right now, it's shining. And so the expectation of God for us this year is that we might shine. We will shine for our Master. We will shine for our Savior. And I want to use this passage in Matthew 5. We'll read the first 16 verses just to introduce this theme to us. And that will take a few more weeks to re-emphasize it. If you are there, Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 1 down to verse 16, I commence reading. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Shall we pray? Sovereign Master, we marvel at your goodness. We marvel at your mercies that you have extended towards us throughout the year that has gone by. We marvel that you can take care, protect, provide for us in so many different ways throughout the year. We come this morning to appreciate you, to acknowledge our gratitude, to offer our praise and thanksgiving For you have done great things for us as individuals, as families, and as a church. We are thankful, Father, that you have healed many of our diseases. You have provided all that we have needed. As we look into the year, we saw how you helped us achieve much in terms of having brought even some to salvation through the baptisms that we had. We are thankful for the ministries and the work they carried out in the year. We are grateful for many that did attend those special meetings in which people were invited to come and hear your word. We thank you for the VBS and the great numbers that came, even as those children came to hear your word. We thank you for our ladies' meetings, the tea party, evangelistic meetings, and many that did come. We thank you for the men's senior YP meetings that they invited, the nursing school students. Father, we are grateful for all the ministries of the church and just how it pleased you to have your word go out in the last year. Thank you that as we closed the year, we had unprecedented numbers of people that met with us to again hear the gospel. We plead, O God, that you will extend our tent through these efforts, through these programs, that as we begin another new year, you draw many to yourself. You build these, your people, up in faith. You cause these, your children, to truly shine for you have made them light. We ask that even now as we hear your word reminding us of who we are, that our Father, you will be pleased to save some even in our midst. We plead for special grace upon those who may be mourning. We remember our sister Musenge and the family who lost an uncle. We plead special grace upon them that you might comfort them. We plead special grace upon the family of our brother, Mr. Mlewa, who is going to be with the Lord after having served you faithfully. We are grateful for that life. We are grateful for how you preserved him in the time that he was sick. But we are grateful knowing that he knows you and is now with you in glory. We plead then that you be with the family as they mourn their loved one, that Father, your grace will abound. Now attend to us, O God, as we hear your word preached, that you might encourage us and send us out in the week with the assurance of your love upon us, your care, and your kindness. This we plead in the worthy and blessed name of your Son, our Savior and our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As I mentioned, this year's theme is "You are the light of the world. Shine. Therefore, shine." I want to do a brief introduction to the book of Matthew, very briefly, as well as the theme that is before us this year. The Gospel of Matthew is about King Jesus, about his kingdom, and the subjects of his kingdom. It picks up where the last prophet Malachi left off to continue the story of the promised long-awaited Messiah, the King of Israel, the greater son of David, who was born of the Virgin for the purpose of crushing the head of the serpent in order to reverse and cancel the case of the fall, as announced by God himself in Genesis chapter 3, and especially verse 15. This is the Christ who was foretold in the Old Testament by the prophets And since then, the world waited in great anticipation for the Messiah, or the Savior, who was to bring restoration and bring light in the dark world. Yes, he was to usher in a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of light, just as God had willed and planned things to be, even before the fall. So Malachi was the last prophet to prophesy the coming of this Messiah King and closed the Old Testament era. Then after Malachi followed the intertestamental period, which is about 400 years without an official prophet in Israel. The world waited still in silence without the voice of God because there was no prophet. During that time, they still were expectant to see if God will fulfill his promise. And then lo and behold, after 4 centuries of silence, of waiting, Matthew, in his opening 2 chapters, chapters 1 and 2, finally breaks that silence by announcing the arrival, the birth of the long-awaited Messiah King. Yes, at long last, the Savior King had arrived. Praise be to God, whoever keeps his promises. Whatever God has promised to do, he will certainly bring it to pass. In Matthew's account, of course, we just have the account of the birth of Jesus, but it does not include the account of Jesus' early years. And the reason is that he wants to go straight to tell us what this king is here for. It's like he can't wait to simply tell the story of this king and what he has come to do. In chapter 3, John the Baptist was the first to introduce Jesus and his public ministry to the wider populace. But Matthew had already, as he tells us here, he quotes actually Isaiah 9. When you look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12, Matthew is saying, yes, John is telling us and announcing that the king is here, but this was already prophesied by Isaiah. And this is what Matthew quotes in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 17. And the Bible reads there, Matthew 4, verse 12. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And what was spoken? The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So we see here that Jesus is identified as the great light in verse 16. And is a great light not only to the few, but both to the Jews and the Gentiles. Here are people who have dwelt in darkness all along, and the great light has shone. So Jesus, brethren, is the light of the world. From chapters 5 all the way to chapter 7, King Jesus announces his kingdom and his principles. And this is what we normally refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this Sermon on the Mount from chapter 5 to chapter 7, we have the first part, which is the introductory part, where Jesus makes his introductory remarks about this kingdom and about his subjects. And this is the passage of our interest, which is chapter 5, verse 1 to 16 that we have read. Now remember, Isaiah had already prophesied of Jesus that he was the great light shining in a dark world. Jesus is the light of the world. His kingdom is a kingdom of light. And so the apostle wrote this about him. And this is John. John, when you read John 3, verse 19 to 21, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light. Why? So that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. John 3, 19 to 21. What this entails, loved ones, is that the subjects then of Christ's kingdom must of necessity be lights as well. Lights that radiate his light through them, the way the moon and the stars radiate the light of the sun. The moon does not have its own light. The stars do not have their own light. It's the light of the sun that they radiate. So, believers are children of the light because they belong to the kingdom of light. They don't have their own light. They can only radiate the light of their King, the King of Light. In other words, while our theme is saying, you are the light, shine, the point is you cannot shine if you do not have this light. And maybe that explains why some of us have been trying to be Christians and do Christian works, but we fail to shine. It could be that we have not received the light to make us shine. It is no wonder in chapter 5 of our passage and verse 12, Jesus tells his disciples that you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Psalm 97 verse 11 says, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Proverbs 13, 9 says, the light of the righteous shines brightly. The light of the righteous shines brightly. So when Jesus is saying to the disciples, you are the light of the world, he's basically expecting them to shine brightly. And this, brethren, brings us to the aspect of the purpose of believers then in the world. And it is to have a winsome and attractive influence. Christians are here to have winsome and attractive influence. In short, it is to be useful. If you want to really bring all this down to one thing, to shine is to be useful. If you are a child of God and there is no indicators of your usefulness, you are not light. Because as we have seen, the light shines and shines brightly. Very, very important, brethren, as we enter the new year and as we run with this theme of being light, the expectation of God our Father, the expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ our Master, is that we might shine brightly, shine for Him. We become sunbeams of Christ. So then, our big idea is that true citizens of the kingdom of Christ bear witness to Jesus as lights in the world. In other words, they are useful. They shine. They reflect the rays of Jesus around them. Yes, they radiate the fragrance of Christ's light. Remember, I said they don't have their own light. So the light then that they have received from the Master is what they radiate or reflect, so that when people see them, they are able to say, truly, these are followers of Jesus. Look at the light of Christ, is exactly the light that they radiate. The question is, do you shine? Are you radiating this fragrance, light of Christ? Is the impact or influence of your being a Christian felt by those around you? If you are a Christian in the family of non-believers, do they feel your impact? Your influence. Nuclear family, extended family. In the church, do the brethren really feel the influence and the impact of your light? In the community where you live, those neighbors, do they have that sense of feeling that, oh, somebody is radiating the fragrance of Christ here? Even in the country, are we as believers making the rightful impact and influence? Are we shining? Are we useful? Can we say, because we have so many Christians in Zambia, therefore we are seeing the impact, influence? There is so much good that is going on. But that's what should be happening wherever you are as a child of God. Do you shine in your business? So from our text, we are going to consider how true citizens of Christ's kingdom bear witness to Him as lights in the world. And the basic questions that we will be seeking to answer are these. What is this kingdom? What advantages does it offer, and who are the people that belong to it? What is required of those that belong to this kingdom? What are its laws and its obligations? How may those who desire to share its privileges and assume its obligations become citizens of it? So these questions will be answered over the period of time that we'll be discussing this subject of you being the light of the world. And I'm going to break up this discussion in three segments or over a 3 or so weeks period. And the way I would divide it is that today we will look at the subject's character, the subject of this kingdom's character. In other words, what they are. And then next we'll consider the subject's core, their functions and their roles. And God allowing us to consider then in detail the whole aspect of their usefulness, their salt and light of the world, as we see from verses 13 to 15. They are salt and light of the world, therefore they must shine. And then we also thirdly look at their goal. The subjects of this kingdom's goal or aim in life, which is to honor and glorify God. These are people who have resolved to honor and glorify God no matter what. That's how the shining part comes out. That is how useful they are, no matter what. So over the 3 weeks period or so, we will try and consider those topics. But today, let's begin with the first one. The reason and basis for their shining, for their usefulness. What makes them shine? What makes them useful? Verse 3 to 12 of our passage gives us the answer. The passage we have read gives us the answer. All the subjects of Christ's kingdom have a changed or a transformed character or nature. So when we are considering their nature, their character, these verses clearly show that those who are going to belong to this kingdom of light, these who are going to shine, their character, their nature must first be changed. Look with me, Matthew 5 from verse 3. Verse 2 says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's very clear that the kind of people that Jesus is talking about are not the same as everyone else. These are new creation. And the point here is that no one shines or no one can shine or be useful who does not possess a new and transformed character, which is contrary to what everyone else is like. In other words, we are being told here that there is something like a before and the after. There is a kingdom we belong to before Christ comes, and then after the kingdom that Christ brings. And the two categories have different natures, different characters. The word that is usually used to refer to these characteristics here is the Beatitudes. The word Beatitude comes from a Latin word, beati, and simply means blessed or truly happy. Now, what Jesus is actually introducing here, remember, he's a king, and he's talking about his kingdom and the people who must belong to his kingdom. So here he's introducing their character. And he's basically saying that they were like this before. They were in darkness. In fact, they not just lived in darkness, but they were darkness itself. But light has come. A new kingdom has come. So they are now being translated from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And this is the kind of nature they now possess. And this is very true in light of what we know about what the Bible teaches generally. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All without exemption. So the Bible is very clear that in our natural state, no one is righteous. We all possess the Adamic nature, which is a fallen nature. We come into this world as darkness. We come into this world as sinners. Yes, we are dead in sin and trespasses. So we can't shine. We can't be useful for God. But the king wants subjects that can serve him. And the good news is that scripture also says this darkness nature can be transformed. It can be changed into Jesus' righteous nature, the nature of light. Remember, Isaiah said he's the great light who has come in the dark world to bring light. And when people possess Christ's righteousness, Christ's light, his nature, they shine with his light in them. So, if a person is not born again, and that is why it's extremely important that you don't play Christianity, you don't pretend to be saved, because you will have no light in you if you pretend. It has to be genuine salvation. So you see, we possess a mediated light, not one that is naturally possessed. And so the shining that we are talking about, that let's shine for Christ, let's be useful for Christ, begins only with the transformation or the change of character from darkness to light. You remember our Lord's words in Matthew 7, verse 16. He asked some rhetoric questions there. In Matthew 7, verse 16, he asks, are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? He's talking about character. I mean, look at the plants we have, like these fruit-bearing trees, mangoes. If you want mangoes, you have to find a mango tree. A mango tree produces mango fruits. A guava tree produces guava fruits. And so on and so forth. So when Jesus is asking, are grapes gathered from thorns? He wants you to answer, no, it's not possible. It's impossible. So he's trying to tell us that the character and the nature of a tree is extremely important for it to produce the rightful result. If we are going to be able to shine and be useful in the kingdom of God, It's not that we'll just wake up one day and say, okay, today I've chosen to shine for Jesus. No. This tree, by nature, is sinful. It's darkness. It needs to be transformed and changed into light. Then when that light comes, that is what will now reflect and radiate the nature of Christ, spiritual nature. So in our natural state, we remain darkness. But there is supernatural work that translates us into light. Darkness cannot produce light just as dead things cannot produce life. It is life that gives life, and it is light that gives light. Here in our passage, we have 8 unique, distinct features or characteristics which sharply distinguish Christ's subjects of his kingdom, and these are the children of light, from the others, from the rest, who are the children of darkness. They are all marked by the word blessed. What a wonderful word. Blessed. And this is the Lord himself declaring them such. Blessed or happy, truly happy. So, this is a distinguishing mark for all those that belong to Jesus. Those who are transformed by the power of the gospel. Those who are genuinely born again, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and therefore are members of Christ's kingdom of light. The Bible tells us they are poor in spirit, in verse 3. They mourn for sin, in verse 4. They hunger and thirst for righteousness, in verse 6. They are meek and merciful. They are heart lovers of purity, verse 8. They are peacemakers, verse 9. And they are persecuted for choosing to go the way of the Lord, for choosing the way of their master over their own way and the way of the world, they are persecuted for it. Verses 10 to 12. So as I said earlier, what this demonstrates is that there is a before and the afterlife. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We are all born in the kingdom of darkness. There must be translation from that kingdom into the marvelous kingdom of light of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When the people dwelling in darkness positively respond to the gospel message call, they are immediately translated from the kingdom of darkness into citizens of God's kingdom. So when you look carefully at these characteristics, you notice then that they are telling us that is something that is opposite to what these people have now become. So what the opposites implied here are these. That the one side of the kingdom, which is darkness, and the other side that Jesus Christ is saying that these are the requirements. The first one then is that these people were covetous and they were ambitious, but now they are poor in spirit. So when Jesus is talking about them being poor in spirit. It means the opposite life is what they lived. A life of covetous and ambitious. When the Bible says next that they mourn, it means that before they didn't care how they lived. They were luxurious. They were licentious. They were living a sinful life without caring at all. But the translation has happened. The change has happened. And now they are serious. Now they are repentant. They are penitent mourners for sin. They don't look at it lightly and want to involve in it any longer. They actually mourn over it. When the Bible says the other requirement is that they must be meek and lowly, it means that before, these were very arrogant people. These were very proud people, fierce people. But with the translation, the Bible says, those who are going to be members in my kingdom, they are meek and they are lowly. But then you notice further that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in verse 6. For they shall be satisfied. You know, these are people who before sought to possess things unjustly. They wanted things that belong to the neighbor for themselves, and they would want to get that at all costs. But not anymore. In the kingdom of Christ, they want to possess things with honesty. They want to possess whatever they are going to possess with uprightness. Why? The righteousness of Christ is very important to them. They want to be righteous. They don't want to be unjust. They don't want to be dishonest. They have been translated into a new kingdom. What does the Bible say next? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. The opposite, they were cruel. They were hard-hearted. They didn't care what happened to other people. In fact, they would laugh at those that are on a disadvantaged side. But now, they are merciful. They are charitable. They want to do something about this. A change of character and nature has happened. Something has obviously happened that has made somebody who was cruel and hard-hearted, and suddenly they are merciful and they are charitable. Yes, it talks about them now being pure in heart, meaning that before they dwelled in lust, they dwelled in lewdness and uncleanness. Impurity, unholiness is what characterized them before. But oh, now they are pure in heart. They don't want to entertain things that will contaminate them. They are in a new kingdom, the kingdom of light, and they want to shine. Why should they then continue with a life of impurity? So they then mind what they look at that does not contaminate them. What they read, what they watch, where they go. There is the desire of purity in them. But the Bible says also that they have now become peacemakers. Peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Meaning that before they were not. They were quarrelsome. They loved fighting. They were contentious. They are the kind of, call them, I'll fight anybody. Let him come. He'll find me. Not anymore. They are now peacemakers. If there is a contention, then you find them that they are contending to make peace. Something has happened. Something has transpired here, which has made them to move from this old way of life to this new life. Now Christ can say, they are blessed. They are blessed. The Bible talks of them being persecuted, meaning that previously they were the persecutors. And I think the very good example is that of Paul, the Apostle Paul. How was Paul before he got converted? He was a man who persecuted the church. He didn't see sense in what Christians were doing. He didn't really think that these people deserve to live. He saw them as enemies, and he desired to destroy them. With all his learning, with all his, you know, influence, he sought to destroy the church. But what did Paul become eventually when Christ met him and changed that life? He was a promoter of the Christian faith. So when the Bible says, blessed are the persecuted, it means that previously they were the persecutors of the church. Now, the point I'm making, and I hope it's clear, can you see the changed and the transformed character of those who are to inherit the kingdom of Christ? Those who are going to be members of the kingdom of light, the kind of life, the kind of mind and hearts that they must possess. Do you see it? It's people who have moved from a life of before. They can actually see, that was my life. That was me before I was translated in the kingdom of light. Now this is the new me. And Jesus calls such blessed. Are you among those that are blessed? The blessed persons who shall be admitted in Christ's kingdom of light are transformed from the natural life of sin and darkness to this supernatural life of righteousness and light. They possess hearts, minds, and a lifestyle which are totally contrary and opposite to what they were before. Now, if you are here and you cannot see from the time you are born to this time any change in your life, you are still in the kingdom of darkness. Up until you get to a point where you are able to see clearly and tell very distinctly, that was me before the Savior met me. That was me before I repented and confessed and believed in Jesus. But that's no longer me. I am now this, the light of the world. I have the righteousness of Christ. I'm clothed with his righteousness and with his light. There is need for repentance then, brethren. And repentance is a term that has been used both by John and the Lord Jesus Christ. To repent is to turn, or to make a turn of 180 degrees. So if you are headed in this direction and you turn 180 degrees, then you head in the very opposite direction. So when John and the Lord was preaching, they both spoke of repentance. Repent, Because the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of the Messiah has come. Well, I want to make three applications and we'll be done. Having presented the characteristics of those who must be in the kingdom of light from the Beatitudes, what do we pick out of all this? 3 points. First, it is the intention of Jesus on this teaching. What does Jesus really want us to pick from it? Well, Jesus intended these characteristics of the Beatitudes to act like tests. You remember that story of Gideon? God wants him to go and fight. And Gideon says, well, I don't have many men. God says, well, gather whoever you can gather. And he gathers quite a good number, but there are still few. And God says to him, go to the river and observe as men are drinking the water. And what I want you to do is that you only pick those who will lap the water, not those who will be drinking while standing. When he takes them there and they are drinking water, and God sifts or removes those who were standing so that he can only remain with those who were lapping water, the number even reduced further. So that from a human perspective, Gideon must have been thinking, well, this is it. I thought I already had a small number. Now it has even reduced further. But the sifting is because God knows exactly what he's going to do with the few. God doesn't need a mighty army to win. So in the same way, Jesus is using these Beatitudes to make a very clear distinction so that even as you live today, you can be able to see in your own life that I belong either to the kingdom of darkness or I belong to the kingdom of light. There is no middle ground. There are only two groups of people on this face of the earth. Those who are still in the kingdom of darkness, like the rest of the world, and those who have repented, turned around, when they have heard that the kingdom of light is now here, and Christ the great light is here, and they have repented of their sins, and they have believed in him as Lord and Savior. And what Christ has done is he has extended his righteousness towards them. He has extended his light into them. And these are the people now who can shine. So you see why it is very important, my brother, my sister, that you actually have a right starting point in your spiritual journey. Why this gospel cannot be overemphasized. Why we are always asking you, are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know what it means to be born again? Because we want you to understand that if your nature, your character does not change, you either pretend or just carry on as life as usual, you will not shine. You will never be useful in the kingdom of God. He can't even use you. You may pretend and copy what other Christians are doing, but if it has not happened to you individually, you will never shine. Shining begins with a transformed, changed life. You need to know that you are born a sinner and in a world of darkness, in a kingdom that is a kingdom of darkness, which is controlled by Satan himself. That's what we all are before. Then the gospel comes. Then Christ comes and says, I have brought a kingdom, and those who belong to my kingdom must then hear my voice and believe me. And we then run to Jesus, and he shows us our sinfulness, and we repent, and we believe, and we are translated into the marvelous kingdom of light of his. So what this means, brethren, is that for you who are believers, he has a great assurance of what God has made you into. This is a great assurance to anyone who has repented and believed in Jesus. If anyone even today desire and embrace Christ's kingdom of light, and they repent and believe, they will be translated. They will be transformed. Are you willing? Because as I said, there's no middle ground. It's either darkness or you are light. Where are you? Christ has made it plain. And the reason he's still speaking even now is because he knows you are still in darkness. And he wants you to be translated. He desires for you that you don't remain in darkness and therefore go to destruction ultimately, but that you may come in and receive his righteousness, his light, so that you can now shine in this dark and sinful world. But I know for those who are in the world, when they look at a Christian, the one thing that comes to mind, which the devil obviously uses most of the time, is that, yeah, you know, becoming a Christian, you lose. Look at the things that these people let go of. There's so much that they lose. Well, that's from the natural perspective. We read that passage in John, where John is saying, people do not come to the light because their works are evil. And because their works are evil, they want to hide in darkness. Otherwise, they'll be exposed. The light is going to expose them. But this exposure is good for you. You need to see your sinfulness and acknowledge it. Because if the light of the gospel does not show that you are a sinner needing a savior, then you die in your sins. Here's a new year, with the love of God being proclaimed once again, that you can become a child of light. The question is, are you willing? Become a child of light so that you can shine with the rest, so that your nature can be changed and transformed and made into a new creation. You become somebody that Christ can say, blessed are you. And blessed indeed are all who believe in him. So while the world thinks that believers are losers, Jesus answers very well for us that in fact they lose, of course, the life of the world in order to gain the life of Christ, the spiritual blessings. How is this? Well, if you look at the list that has been given to us here, notice how Jesus then pairs. He says, the poor in spirit, what will they become eventually? Are to be kings. So while the world looks at us and by following the life of holiness and shunning sin, they think, oh, we have lost. Oh, beloved, what awaits you is amazing. Something you have never thought or even imagined. There we are. Verse 3 of chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What about those who mourn? Will it just end there that they mourn for their sins and that will be it? Well, blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. If you read Isaiah 40 verse 1, there's even a double comfort proclaimed to God's people. Comfort, comfort my people. So yes, the world may look at us and think we are losing, but Christ has designed a wonderful plan that eventually we will be the winners, will be the great gainers. What about those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? The Bible says they will be filled indeed. Those who are meek, who seem to have no portion on earth. In the life to come, what will happen to them? They will inherit the whole earth. For now, people look at you and they think you have nothing, so you are not important. My brother, my sister, so much awaits you. Those who are persecuted for Christ's sake, the Bible says it's a mark of proving that you actually belong to this whole family of God that has ever been around. So these are blessings. Some of those who are contemplating the idea of, I'll lose so much. My friend, what you lose cannot be compared to what you gain. There is so much blessing in being in Christ. And it is therefore not very difficult to then see that if there is this great blessing, Jesus even calls them blessed because of all these things that are in store for them, then the very opposite is true for the unrepentant. A fateful end awaits them. A fateful end awaits them. The darkest dark, or hell and death awaits you, my brother, my sister. If you continue on the path of not desiring to have your character, your nature transformed by the Spirit of God, your failure to respond to the gospel call, you will face the darkest dark. You will face hell. You will face everlasting death. And you won't blame Christ because he will have given you the opportunity and the chance to be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Let me conclude by saying this. Unless you repent and embrace Christ's kingdom of light, you are not capable of receiving grace. But further, unless you repent and embrace Christ's kingdom of light, Christ will never be precious to you, and you cannot possess his light, and therefore you can never shine. You can never be useful. Christ is looking for people who will be useful in his kingdom. But further, it means you cannot inherit his kingdom of light. Why? Because by nature, you are darkness, and you belong to the kingdom of darkness. So those of you who think, no, you know, by the love of God, you will be saved. Or the love of God is the gospel that is going out now. If you want the love of God, respond to the gospel call now. Because ultimately, they are the blessed and they are the cursed. Where do you belong? Oh, my brother, my sister, repent and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be weaned off self-righteousness by embracing Jesus Christ and his requirements that are shown us here in the Beatitudes. And lastly, become an admirer a lover of Jesus. When you do that, you will shine and you will be useful in his kingdom. And that's what he requires of you. What is your position? May God help us that we will all desire to move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.